dramatic press conferences last night in terms of Brexit, and the people at the very top of the EU standing at the podiums, and then the Prime Minister, Theresa May, walking out and essentially saying what she's been saying all along. It's her deal, which she claims will give this country a comfortable way out of the EU. She's refusing to even contemplate revoking Article 50, which takes us out of the EU. It's her way, and she doesn't know, or what is the question? Let's talk to our business and economics editor, John Campbell, this morning, who joins us from Brussels. Just sum up for us, John, that extraordinary night last night. What happened?
Well, I think we just go back about how we got to today. So we know that Parliament does not support the deal that Theresa May negotiated with the EU. But Parliament has also said we don't want to leave without a deal. So they had asked the Prime Minister to come to Brussels and ask for a delay to Brexit. She wanted that delay to take us up to the 30th of June. The EU rejected that. But what they agreed after a very, very long discussion last night, ultimately about 8 hours of discussions, was that Brexit will be delayed until the 22nd of May, so long as her deal gets through Parliament next week. Now, I don't think there's a huge amount of confidence in the EU that that deal will get through Parliament next week, so there's another delay in there. If Theresa May's vote fails next week, there will be a delay until the 12th of April. So that would give MPs 2 weeks to decide what they want to do if the vote goes down next week. And the options, realistically, for MPs in that two-week period is either to ask for a much longer extension, which would see the UK participating in European parliamentary elections and perhaps staying in for up to 2 years, or reject that completely and say the UK would leave without a deal on the 12th of April. So three main options there: back the Prime Minister's deal and be out by the 22nd of May, go for no deal on the 12th of April, or ask for a much, much longer extension.
And if she asks for a much, much longer extension. I was watching the press conferences last night, and one of the journalists asked, well, how long? And I think the response was, to the end. What does that mean?
Yeah. Well, I suppose
Juncker
as long as
said
it would
that, wasn't it?
Yeah, as long as it would take to actually get an agreement. Because you've got to think, well, what would happen if there is a long extension? Would the Prime Minister be able to keep her job? Would there be a general election? Would there be a new cross-party consensus about how Brexit should work? Or would there even be a second referendum? So you may need time for all of those. Simon Coveney, the Republic's foreign minister, not so long ago, he was talking about the possibility of a 21-month extension. But frankly, at the moment, we don't know what the length of extension would be. And all the focus now comes back hard on to MPs. What are they going to do next week?
Will
they back Theresa May's deal?
And John, does the DUP still hold the balance of power in terms of how they vote, whether they vote for the deal or not? Do they hold the balance of power?
It is possible that if the Prime Minister managed to turn some of her Conservative opponents to supporting the deal and also brings in some people from the Labour Party, that she wouldn't need the DUP. Now, I think it, frankly, is going to be very difficult for her to do that. And the strategy she has pursued all along is to try and build a majority which involves the DUP and her own party. And if there's really this feeling, I think, in the Conservatives, and some people in Brussels see this here as well, that if she was able to get the DUP on board, that would unlock a lot of the opposition from people within her own party, and she would be able to get the deal. So the DUP are still key in this whole process if she is to get this deal over the line next week.
Any of the noises I'm hearing from the DUP, John, is that they have not changed their position. They are not supporting Theresa May's present deal.
Absolutely. We've heard in the last couple of days from Gavin Robinson, from Diane Dodds, from Nigel Dodds, from Sammy Wilson, you name it. And the DUP, as it stands, are saying that the deal which is on the table from the Prime Minister right now is not one they can accept.
So, I keep on saying what happens now, but I kind of think that we're going round and round in circles. And when I watched the Prime Minister last night, I'm not sure she was saying anything different from what she's been saying all along. It's the same type of language. It's nearly exactly the same words.
Back my deal. Yeah. So what happens next, really, I think, is she will try to bring the deal back to the Commons next week, if the Speaker of the House of Commons, John Bercow, actually allows her. If that is defeated, which still looks very likely, then we're into this two-week window where MPs really have to decide if they're taking control of Brexit and they are giving the Prime Minister new instructions. That would be the crunch period, I think. If the vote is lost, which at the moment looks likely, then what the EU has effectively said is, Parliament, it's over to you. It's make your mind up time. You can leave without a deal, or you can instruct your Prime Minister to do something different, but time is short. We're only giving you 2 weeks in which to do that.
Maybe you can explain one thing for me. I thought the Speaker had ruled, John Bercow had ruled, that the Prime Minister cannot bring another attempt to for a vote on her deal back to the House of Commons because it had happened before and he was going back to the 1600s, wasn't he?
Yeah.
So how come she might get it through next week when she wasn't allowed last week?
Well, there's a slightly technical way in which she might be able to do this, which is there was clarification she sought from the EU just a couple of weeks ago in Strasbourg, where they would give her some clarification on the withdrawal agreement and the backstop and so forth. And that took the form of a couple of letters. The European leaders last night, if you like, formally adopted and ratified that clarification. So you could say she now has a couple of new binding legal documents. Now, it's still going to be a bit of a stretch to make that case to the Speaker, because he said, well, listen, we already knew about the Strasbourg stuff when Meaningful Vote 2 went down, so this is nothing really new. But she will, I think, attempt to make that argument. And I think she can also make the argument, because the EU has now laid out the opportunity for these two extension dates, that has changed the whole thing materially as well. So in that respect, she should be able to bring the deal back. But it's by no means certain that will happen, that she will even be allowed to bring a Meaningful Vote 3 next week.
Okay, John Campbell, thank you very much indeed. Here's Tommy in County Tyrone. You're reacting to this already this morning. This is a big time, and a big time for Northern Ireland. 03030 80 55 55. What are the implications of a no-deal Brexit for Northern Ireland? Like, we currently, as we stand, could be on the brink of it. 03030 80 55 55. Maybe that's a good thing. Maybe that's a bad thing for you to tell me. What do you think, Tommy?
How's it going, Stephen?
Morning. What do you think?
Stephen, I hear you there saying a few things, you know,
Whoa, Tommy, we'll try to get your line fixed, mate, so we can hear you. Let's hear from the President of the European Council, Donald Tusk, who was speaking last night.
What this means in practice is that until that date, all options will remain open and the cliff edge dates will be delayed. The UK government will still have a choice of a deal, a no deal, a long extension, or revoking Article 50.
And then the Prime Minister, Theresa May, she responded.
What this decision tonight does is show the clear choice that is available, open to MPs. Getting the deal through next week in a meaningful vote means that we can have that extension to the 22nd of May, get our legislation through, deliver on the referendum, leave the European Union, and do it in an orderly manner. Not getting that vote through means that we will, obviously, as the Council has said, come back to the Council before the 12th of April with a plan for the way forward. But that, if it involves that further extension, would mean us candidates being stood in the European parliamentary elections. I think the choice is clear for people.
Nigel Farage ain't happy.
I'm disgusted. We were told we were leaving on March the 29th. 500 MPs voted for us to leave on March the 29th. 100 times the Prime Minister told us it would happen. And I think there is going to be a very strong sense amongst many millions of people that this is a total failure of leadership. What happened last night was a national humiliation, became an international humiliation. I mean, people are just laughing at us.
Tommy, tell me what you think. Hopefully we can hear you a bit better.
Good morning, Stephen.
Go ahead.
Stephen, I just heard you a few times there saying that you were confident enough, you know, that the DUP won't support Theresa May's deal.
Well, I'm confident that for the people I have spoken to, some of them very senior in the DUP, they're saying at present nothing's changed. They are not supporting her deal.
Yeah. Stephen, the reality of the whole thing is that the DUP are supporting Theresa May every day of the week, so they're supporting her. The fact that they're supporting her at all...
There's no evidence of that, Tommy. There's no evidence that they're supporting her deal.
Stephen, they're providing her with a confidence and supply agreement. They're supporting the woman every day of the week, no matter what happens. Whether they agree with her deal or not, they are still supporting her. They're the one that's keeping her propped up. They're the ones that are keeping the worst government, the worst prime minister in history, even worse than David Cameron, in power, in government. So they're, whatever way that the Brexit show ends up, whether good or bad, which there's no doubt it looks bad, the DUP have their hands all over it, and they're going to have to take their share of the blame for how bad it goes.
Well, what are you worried about? Even. Why are you worried about Brexit?
Stephen,
I keep on saying this to people.
Stephen,
what about looking at the opportunity of Brexit?
Stephen, I can assure you I'm not worried about Brexit. I'm one of a few nationalists in the North that actually support Brexit. I want to see Brexit happen. It's just we've got the wrong people steering the ship here. That's the problem, Stephen. You know what I mean? I want to see Brexit happen. I've seen what the European Union have done to Ireland. I've seen what they've done to Greece. Everyone else has seen it too. They love you if you have money, but they hate you if you don't. I have no time for the European Union. Europe, yes, no problem. It's the European government that is the problem. That's why the British people want out. But the problem we have is that we've got the worst prime minister in history actually trying to negotiate a deal with them.
Well, I think the BBC's Nick Robinson summed up his thoughts in a tweet that he sent out last night. He said, last night, Theresa May suggested the choice was between her deal and no deal. Tonight, she says it's between her deal and a long delay. Last night, she attacked MPs for failing to make their minds up. Tonight, she says she understands that MPs are frustrated. And he says, I hope that makes it clear. Thank you, Tommy. Morning to you. Here's Jim Wilson. Morning, Jim.
Morning, Stephen.
Go ahead, Jim.
No, Stephen, that guy's not far wrong, when he says about her position. What baffles me is that such an intelligent woman from the start, and I know she was, I think she was a Remainer, and we have put into the hands of a Remainer someone who's trying to create a deal for us to leave European Union, right? So what a better way to come up with a deal that's not acceptable to Parliament and continue to try and push that deal down people's throats. Eventually then give, what we've done was we gave the European Parliament a complete royal flush in the sense that where we have said to them that we won't leave without a deal, we want the deal, which means no matter what we say or do, they have got the trump cards. So Theresa May and all that she has been doing, and I think she's been doing it intelligently in the sense that she knows that we don't want to leave without a deal, but her deal is not acceptable. Now, here's where I come in with the Northern Ireland side of it. You know, unionists and loyalists are watching very, very closely that the DUP stand their ground, because the deal that's on the table actually puts us closer to United Ireland than anything else that's happened in this country, including the Republican movement trying to force us into United Ireland, because it takes away a part of our sovereignty, which gives us the rights of our economic affairs.
How does it take away your sovereignty? How?
Well, that's part of your sovereignty.
What is?
Even all these things,
What is part of your sovereignty?
Well, if you economically are tied to Europe, right, and you have no say in what is happening within that country, that's taken away a democratic right of your economics. And it's part of a sovereignty of the nation we belong to, the United Kingdom. That is what we sign up for. We sign up that we are part of that country. We take the rules and regulations of what the overall country does.
Well, hold on a minute. Jim, hold on a minute.
Yeah,
when you just said there, we take the rules of the whole country that we're part of, okay? It was the DUP who were campaigning for air passenger duty to be different in Northern Ireland than the rest of whole country.
Yeah,
it was
Stephen,
the DUP. It was the DUP who were campaigning for corporation tax to be different in Northern Ireland than the rest of the UK. It was the DUP who were campaigning for corporation tax to be same as the Republic.
You're nitpicking, Stephen. The England, Scotland, Wales and Northern Ireland have slightly different of their own legislations when they have their own government to put forward their legislation. I'm talking about the United Kingdom
tax
as a whole.
That's a tax rate.
Stephen. But you do your deals,
Jim,
within your economy.
You're picking and choosing. You're having your cake and eating it.
Part of your country.
Well, if you're doing your best that you can for your country, what would be wrong with Northern Ireland? Why, if you're doing your best you can for your country, and if that is Northern Ireland, okay, then why would the DUP not want Northern Ireland to be a special case? Why would they not want Northern Ireland to be better off than the rest of the UK?
Do you not understand that then we become part of the EU, right? Outside the United Kingdom.
Here's the commentator. Stay there. You can stay there, Jim. The commentator, Jane Morris, joining me this morning. Morning to you, Jane.
Good morning.
Good morning. So there's Jim, and he's talking about the country's sovereignty and his confidence that Northern Ireland will remain the UK, and he doesn't want it watered down. And he says loyalists and unionists will be watching very carefully that the DUP stands at ground and doesn't budge, Jane.
Well, you know very well my position. I believe that Northern Ireland should stay in the EU as part of the UK. I've got a petition with 7,000 signatures so far, and hopefully more, wanting Northern Ireland to stay in the
EU. That's not very many.
It's enough for we'll compare the others. To stay in the EU as part of the UK, because I believe Brexit does more damage to the United Kingdom than the backstop. I think the backstop would be more likely to keep everybody in Northern Ireland happy. But this is an important thing, Stephen, that I think is being ignored. In fact, if you want, the elephant in the room at the moment is the European Parliament elections. They're less than 2 months away. That's exactly why all this debate last night and those dates, because the 12th of April is what is the day that you've got to put in your nomination for the European Parliament elections, and the 23rd of May is the European Parliament elections. Now, Theresa May is spinning the narrative that European Parliament elections would be bad for the UK, but I think they would be the best way of testing the will of the people. I believe the European Parliament elections would have a historic turnout.
The way of the people, the will of the people has already been tested in the referendum, and you lost. Get over it.
No. Wait a minute. Think about the European Parliament elections. First of all, look at the fact that Farage is gearing up for the European Parliament elections, isn't he? He's got his new Brexit party. I wonder, are the DUP ready? If you don't get the deal through, you get a long extension, and you must have European Parliament elections. This is something I think the press and the media are missing. Why don't you start talking about that? I mean, it's the European Parliament. I mean, I'm sitting here in Brussels, and everyone's talking about the importance of the European Parliament elections. Why are the UK ignoring it? I know.
What part of Leave do you not understand?
Pardon?
What part of Leave do you not understand? Leave, when the people voted democratically to leave the European Union, what part of that do you not understand?
I understand every single part of it, but I totally believe that...
Hold on, let's let her finish, Jim. Jim, hold on, let's let her finish.
Wait a minute. I believe that opinion has changed, and I think it would be valuable to test it again, certainly with the European Parliament election. And secondly, Northern Ireland voted to stay in. And so I think we need to accommodate devolution. Here's another important point people don't look at. When we joined the EU in 73, we were the United Kingdom. But since that, things have changed. We're now devolved. Just take Scotland as the best example for you, because Scotland wants a backstop. If Scotland wants a backstop, why are Northern Ireland throwing it away? Because, I mean, it's the second best. Remaining is the first best. For me, the second best is the backstop, and that's the deal. But then, what about having a European Parliament election and seeing what the people are saying now?
Okay. Erwin Armstrong's joining us this morning as well, the commentator. Morning to you, Erwin.
Good morning, Steve.
So if this country, you're a businessman, How do you think other businesses in Northern Ireland will relish the prospect or not relish the prospect of leaving without a deal?
I think there's a very wide range of opinion. Obviously, those involved in the agricultural industry will be very, very concerned about what will happen with the movement of beef, milk, lamb, etc. across the border, and it could be disastrous for some of them. Other businesses, some are heavily involved in the European Union and are concerned about it. Others don't trade outside the United Kingdom, and yet another group trades around the world. So there's a very wide and differing set of opinions on it. But I think overall, from the point of view of Northern Ireland, no deal is probably not a good idea. And I think what people are forgetting, this deal is not about our future relationship with the European Union. This deal is how much money we're giving the European Union. We're guaranteeing certain things in advance of a trade deal. So we haven't even got to the trade deal yet. You know, and I think people have missed that. Why we ever needed a withdrawal agreement in the first place, which put the cart before the horse, I have no idea, and I have no idea why the government agreed to have it. You know, they obviously from day one had set their hearts against having a no deal and were prepared to do anything. And I think we can all remember when the DUP contacted Theresa in Brussels to say, by the way, that deal you're negotiating, we're not supporting it. So it has been a mess from day one. We have now managed to split the Conservative Party, the DUP, and even despite last night's vote in the European Parliament, it was quite clear before that France would have loved a no deal, Spain would have loved a no deal. So there, you actually have them now fighting with each other internally. So how do we get out of the mess? I have no idea. I just know that Jane Morris is looking for an election. I fear that what would happen in an election is that all of the people who voted to leave probably wouldn't vote for either of the current parties. So where would that leave us? If we remember in the last election, UKIP actually, I think, finished up being the biggest party in the European election. Listen, that happen again?
We've loads of people want to talk about this morning. Michael Newton Abbey. Morning, Michael.
Good morning, Stephen. This is actually turning into, last night proved that this is actually turning into a game of chicken. And I tell you, last night, I don't know if anyone noticed on it, but the EU blinked last night. They took out, they ruled out a no deal. They went back to the UK. Now, albeit they still don't get it, the reality to it is they ruled out a no deal last night. They have found, and Winston has alluded to it, the infighting going on in the EU. And they know the consequences. The consequences of a no deal are so dramatic and have such an impact on the current EU. Germany's economy, Italy's economy, Spain's economy, they are floundering. All of the, and they're the only three outside the UK who are net contributors. Ireland are a net contributor, or have been from 2016, just to a tune of 1.1 billion. However, in the event of a no deal, all of that goes out the window. The EU will be seeking increased contributions from those countries that I mentioned, who will be, who their economies, as I say, are in an awful state at the moment, and they will get worse. And the EU have realised that, and they blinked last night by doing what they did. They did not rule out, they actually ruled out a no deal because they know the consequences.
They didn't rule out a no deal scenario.
Well, they
did not. That's not true.
They did not rule.
What do you mean they did not rule it out? They did not. I don't even know what that means. They did not rule out a no deal scenario. Indeed, senior officials within the EU have been telling people to now prepare for a no deal scenario. So it's the opposite to what you're saying.
But no, it's not the opposite. We have to prepare in the event of a no deal. We equally have to prepare.
Listen, I don't want to fight with you today, but it's just incorrect that the EU have ruled out a no-deal scenario. No. They have not.
Did they come out last night and say, no deal? We will not have no deal. No, they extend it. They give it, they grant it extension for the allowance for this withdrawal to take place because they know the consequence. So, in effect, they have said, we don't want a no deal. We will do anything. We will extend as much as we can. And I guarantee you, see, come the 12th of April, Stephen, they will shift it again.
Jane Morris?
I don't really see the logic in that.
But then you're a Remainer, Jane, no disrespect. You've got dark glasses on.
I've got rose-tinted glasses on, thank you
very
much.
No, you've got dark glasses on.
I don't care what glasses she has on. Let her speak to her, hear what she's got to say.
She has a vest.
A caller earlier, sorry, and I wrote it down. He said, the EU only loves you if you've got money. Look what the EU have done for Northern Ireland. $2 billion for our peace process in 20 years. Look what it did for Ireland, helping the economy. Okay, there was after the banking crash, something had to be done. But Greece is coming back up. And all this down talk about Europe disintegrating. They might have had a difference of opinion last night. But that's 27 leaders of 27 countries. And it's incredible to me that the UK thinks itself equal to 27 leaders of 27 countries. It's one of them and has always been one of them. And we're together in this and they're together in this. They have not blinked. They're helping us. They're helping the UK to find a way out of the terrible mess it's in. Why do people
They're helping themselves.
Stay there. We'll get the news. It's 9:31. I'll tell you what, our wee man in Brussels, John Campbell, our business and economics editor, to give him his proper title, rather than wee man in Brussels, he's noticed something here, Jane Morris, which I think is interesting. He says, John says in his Twitter feed, an intriguing last two lines in the Financial Times piece on last night's EU leaders' discussion. And this is Angela Merkel suggesting the need for, quote, a fallback plan to protect the Good Friday Agreement in event of a no deal. And here's what the FT, part of what the article says. It says, Mrs. Merkel followed up to note the serious risks of a no deal outcome and the difficulties this would pose for maintaining an open border with Northern Ireland. She called on Mr. Barnier to explore a fallback plan to uphold the Good Friday Agreement on Northern Ireland. According to diplomatic notes, one EU official said tonight was the first time leaders tried to crystallise what a no deal means. So there's now the introduction of a discussion by Angela Merkel calling on the EU to develop a fallback plan to uphold the Good Friday Agreement. Now, what does that mean? That's really interesting.
Can I come in there? This is perfect. This is my petition for honorary EU association for Northern Ireland as a European place of global peace building. And by the way, my proposal for a path of peace from Northern Ireland to Nicosia called the White Dove Way got approval by the Economic and Social Committee.
But Jean, I don't have the brains that some of them have in this building. I have no idea what you're talking about. Could you explain this, please? What do you mean? I don't even understand what you're saying.
Have you not read my petition?
I certainly have not.
It's been around for... I won't get frustrated. It's calling for honorary EU association.
What does that mean, though?
It can stay in the UK. It can stay in the EU as part of the UK. You can call it... Some call it special status. Some call it backstop. I think excellent what Angela Merkel has come up with is a fallback, and that's the correct term.
But we've already got a backstop plan, but this fallback plan is to protect the Good Friday Agreement. What is that she's talking about in the event of a no deal? This is new.
Northern Ireland staying in the UK, Northern Ireland staying in the EU as part of the UK. Why not? There's places all over Europe that have special arrangements. From the Isle of Man to Monte Carlo to all of these.
One of your problems there is the DUP want us out.
Well, the DUP may want us out, but I think that they now realise that the farming community, the business community, are all seriously questioning not only a no deal, but Brexit in general. And I think the DUP, if they could embrace type of honorary association for Northern Ireland, that gets us our cake and we can eat it. We'll be in both markets. It would be superb. Northern Ireland would become a place the envy of the rest of the UK, and it stays in the UK, and it's guaranteeing us to stay in the UK. Why are people not grasping that? Shall I keep going?
Here's,
oh, by the way.
Here's Graham in Portadown. Stay there for me. Morning, Graham.
Good morning, Steve. So let's get this back to basics. The people voted to leave. We wanted control economically and politically from unelected quangos who rule virtually every aspect of our life. We voted. MPs failed to deliver this. Those ones who have failed to deliver, just remember that the next time you vote. They're going to. Nobody asked me if I wanted an extension or not. I asked to leave under any circumstances. If they failed to make a deal, I'm quite happy with the no deal. Let's crash out. We'll keep our $39 billion. Yes, there's going to be economic disaster.
Well, you used the words crash, not me, but let's crash out. Listen to even how you're describing it. What other period in your life do you go for a crash?
Well, like this, if I have a big stick, there's no point in me keeping my big stick if I'm not going to use it. We crash out, we take economic pain, but yes, there's going to be pain for some people and gain for others.
Because people were told that, weren't they? Brexiteers were told there was going to be pain, weren't they? Before they voted. They were not told that before they voted.
We're going to have $39 billion.
And it wasn't the crash out campaign, it was the leave campaign. My goodness, how you Brexiteers have changed some of your language.
I haven't changed any of my language. I'm quite happy to leave under what he called a no deal. I will not be dictated to by Mr. Barnier or anybody else. I didn't elect. I don't care what he says. I didn't vote for the extension. I don't want an extension. If my MPs do not vote the way I have told them to vote, next time I vote, I'll vote for somebody who can do as they're told. I don't care about our MPs want to put an extension on for farmers or whatever. It's the majority of people who have voted, and we are the ones who are being ignored. Very simple. There's going to be pain, yes, but there's also going to be a lot more pain for the Republic of Ireland, a lot more pain for France, especially Germany. And yes, we're in 5 years' time, we'll probably be the economic powerhouse of Europe. We will be the Germany of 5 years.
Here's Anne in Belfast next. Morning, Anne.
Good morning.
Good morning. What do you think, Anne?
Well, I've been listening to it all, and I think it's a pity that everybody's getting so angry, because I think when people first voted, we voted sincerely and honestly for what we really thought. And I do think there were a lot of lies around. I mean, I know young people who told me that the National Health Service would close unless we voted to get out. And now they say, well, we were told lies about that. So apart from that, I just want to make the point that the DUP, at the beginning we thought this was an economic thing, and obviously it is, but the DUP have turned it into an issue about the union. And I just want to say to them and to their supporters that the fundamental aim of the DUP is to keep the union intact. And the only way to keep the union intact is to have the majority of people here pleased with the union and keeping the union intact. The majority of the people here can actually change that situation. And the DUP should realise that they must keep the majority of people here happy. And the majority of people here voted to remain. And the majority of people here do not want the crash out. They don't want chaos. They don't want economic chaos.
Well, there's not necessarily going to be chaos. And Brexiteers may not describe it as crashing out. They might describe it as leaving.
Yes, and I can see that. But from what
Theresa May is talking about leaving in an orderly way, and that's possible if her deal is accepted, for example.
Well, yes, if Mrs. May's deal is accepted, if it is done in an orderly way, that's a different situation. But we're now talking about just going for a no deal Brexit, which will mean chaos here. And I've been talking to a lot of people, and people who would have voted to get out, and they now see that the economics show that we should go with an orderly deal. So I think anybody who's voted DUP should contact the DUP and tell them that they will never vote for them again if there is a crash out or a no-deal Brexit.
And thank you. Gary and Carrickfergus. Morning, Gary.
Hello. I have a bit of bad news for Anne. She is very much on the wrong side of history here. I haven't yet met a single person who voted to leave that would change their mind. Not one. I do have two relatives who voted remain. I have never heard a person who voted... I've never met one who voted leave that would now change and vote remain, especially after the behaviour of the EU negotiating team and the Republic of Ireland. Who in their right mind would vote to stay in that? The bottom line is, Stephen, there's a lot of... you're missing by the basic premise of democracy here. 17.4 million people voted to leave the EU. We will not be denied. Protests are starting at 8 across the water. I'd be very surprised if they don't start here. And we're not letting it go.
The petition to revoke Article 50 and stay, You can set up a petition on the government website. The petition to revoke Article 50, stay in the EU within the last 48 hours, has got 2.5 million votes.
Yep. Have you read the? Have you been on to that site? I've been on it. They're telling you to PM people for postcodes. They're asking for people outside the UK to vote on it. It's a lie. A lie. I voted for no deal. I didn't vote for a deal. There was no deal on the ballot paper. Every £1.50 we're putting into that, we're getting a pound back. So see all this stuff about how wonderful the EU has been for us?
When you say we, you're talking about the UK. You're not talking about Northern Ireland. You're from Carrickfergus.
Yes. Northern Ireland, yes. Part of the United Kingdom under the Good Friday Agreement. And
what do you make of the majority of Northern Ireland voting to remain?
Well, what way do you want to break that down, Stephen? It was a UK-wide vote. The majority.
Break it down whatever way you want, but in Northern Ireland, you live in Carrickfergus. You don't live in Dorset or Surrey.
Voted to leave. Carrickfergus, is that the way you want to do it? You want to go down to street by street? It was a UK vote. That's a red herring.
I want to speak, if you don't mind. You can stay there, Gary, if you want. Very welcome.
Yep, certainly.
I want to come back to Brussels this morning and John Campbell, who knows everything about everything about everything, about everything about this, right? And he has noticed in the Financial Times, I don't think I've ever read the Financial Times in my life, but John Campbell has been reading the Financial Times. And now, John, you've noticed this introduction in this article of Angela Merkel talking about a follow-up plan. What's this about, John?
Yeah, so this is a story from two Financial Times journalists, Alex Barker and Marine Kahn, two of the best connected journalists in Brussels, where they give an account of what went on among those discussions between the EU27 leaders last night. And they say that Angela Merkel noted that there would be serious risks of a no deal, and particularly the difficulties this would pose for maintaining the open border on the island of Ireland. And the most interesting point is apparently she called on Michel Barnier, who's the EU's chief negotiator, to explore what's described as a fallback plan to uphold the Good Friday Agreement. Now,
what's that mean?
Well, we don't know for sure, but we can speculate a bit. So we know the backstop is there. In Theresa May's deal. So if a trade deal wasn't agreed, then this would be a situation which would apply to keep the border open. It would involve Northern Ireland staying in the EU's single market, the whole of the UK staying in the customs union. So that's the backstop. But if there's no deal, then the backstop just doesn't apply. And there is the danger of the border being hardened on the island of Ireland. Now, we know that the UK government has published its plans for what it would do about the border in the event of no deal, which is more or less just to pretend it's not a problem and not have any new checks or controls, tariffs or anything crossing that border. We don't know precisely what the EU would do at the border in the event of no deal. At times they have hinted, and maybe been even more explicit than that, that goods would have to be checked crossing that border and we would regretfully end up with some hardening of the border. Now, nobody wants that. So it seems to me that Angela Merkel is effectively saying, OK, right, if there is no deal, What else can we do about the border to make sure that situation where the border could be hardened does not arise? So it seems to me that she's asking Michel Barnier and his team to look at, you know, what can we do to make sure there wouldn't be border checks in no deal.
And is that the EU starting to blink?
I don't sure I would characterise it in that way, although there is a certain issue there.
Well, they haven't talked about it before now, have they?
Yeah, well, what they have said before is, and if you remember, the European Commission's official spokesman a couple of months ago said that in the event of no deal, there probably would be a hard border. And they have also basically said, in a no deal, our normal checks and controls would apply on goods coming into the EU, which again hints at a hard border. What they have not really been clear on is how they would mitigate that. The difficulty has always been, I think, for the Irish government and the EU. If they say, listen, there's a way in which we could keep the border frictionless, open, soft in the event of no deal. We think we could achieve that. If they were to say that, then for many Brexit supporters, they would say, well, then what's the backstop for? What's there's no problem there. If you're saying that you can keep the border open in the event of no deal, you don't need a backstop. So I think that is the difficulty that the EU and particularly the Irish government have had about describing in any detail how they would mitigate a hard border in the event of no deal, is that for Brexit supporters, they would say, well, you've now rendered the backstop completely irrelevant. But clearly, Angela Merkel is suggesting that Michel Barnier should at least explore some of the things which could be done to protect the border and uphold the Good Friday Agreement in the event of no deal. But as I say, that is my speculation about what's going on there. And hopefully later today we'll get the opportunity to ask a couple of questions to Leo Varadkar to see if he can throw any more light on precisely what was being discussed.
And John, just finally, does this not now make it that introduction of what Angela Merkel has said, does that not make it slightly easier for the DUP in the event of a no deal? For them to point, well, look what they're trying to do?
Yeah, well, I think we have to tease out exactly what Mrs. Merkel was getting at there, what the response to her was, what Michel Barnier and the Commission might think. But if the DUP see any suggestion that there'd be ways to prevent a hardening of the border in the event of no deal, then they will clearly seize on that. But like I say, this is two lines in the FT, and we're going to kind of try and tease out a bit what that was actually about.
Sure. John, thank you very much indeed. Thank you.